Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast. We are thrilled,
hey, folks,
that you are with us today.
Yes, we are.
What day is today? It's Tuesday. Yeah, what do we got going on today? We're back in the office. Mondays are our day off, so Tuesday's kind of our Monday where we get back in. We do a staff meeting. I've got a lot of meetings on Tuesdays. I tend to stack my Tuesdays with meetings. Although I've learned from someone who is wiser than I am that might be sitting at this table with me that I try to preserve my mornings and avoid meetings in the mornings these days.
That's a good call. I feel like that's a wise use of your energy. Whoever this is that you're referring to seems like they have a lot of good things to say. Hey, really quickly though, speaking of our office, when do we move into the
March
new one?
March 1st.
March 1 is the new office.
Yep. Can't wait.
I think we should Instagram live that experience.
I'm for it. Are you going to get like a GoPro mount?
Put it on our chest?
I hit myself.
I'll put it on yours.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
That would be fun. I think they'd want to see our new office. I'd love to have them see it with us. It'd be a cool thing for them to see.
You know, I was thinking we've got those glass doors, the double glass doors on our new office. Have you seen those screen things that you can get that are magnetic? And so they hang down from the door and they close with a magnet. And so you can like push through them real easily, but they seal off the door from bugs and stuff.
Yes. They're screens. Yes.
Yeah. We could get those for the front glass doors and open up the glass doors on night. It's beautiful outside today. On Saturday right now, while we're doing this, it's 66 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
It would be a perfect day to get fresh air in the office.
I saw a report just today that on Monday, I think it was, we might hit 90.
That's
isn't that crazy?
Fortunate.
Yeah. Now, that's Ponder on Weather. Shout out to Ponder. He's always got some good weather stuff. I do. My neighbor told me about him when I first moved here, and I've watched him and listened to his news reports ever since, and he's been a gem.
Okay. I don't see that. My weather app says 77 for a high on Monday.
I always trust Ponder over the weather app. I'm just going to say it.
Thursday, I've got 80. Yeah, man. Wow. This is that time. This is like fall spring in Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. This is when the trees are like, let's bud. And then they die again. Yeah. Anyways, let's jump into our text. Exodus 16 through 18. 16 through 18, we've got manna coming on the scene now because guess what? Surprise, surprise. Israel is going to grumble again. And this time it's about food. So previously it was about water. This time it's going to be about food. And again, we don't know how much time has passed between the end of chapter 15, beginning of chapter 16. But they're unable to find food. And Moses warns them this time. He says, hey, you need to understand who you're grumbling against. It's not about me. You're grumbling against God. It's not about Aaron. It's not about me. Your beef is with God. And you need to be careful on this. And again, God's patience, right? In response to this, God doesn't zap them. There's going to be times God's going to say, Moses, get back. I'm going to wipe them all out and start over with you. But not yet. He is still patient with them. And so in response, he's going to give manna. But he's going to put the people to the test at the same time. He's going to say, I only want you to get an omer of manna. Now, everybody knows what an omer is. And if you're asking what an omer is, we don't fully know what an omer is. It's got a couple of quarts in it. We know that much, but we don't know exactly. But each person get an omer according to the number of people in the household. Don't take any more. And this is where the test comes in. Because if they took more, then it grew worms and it stunk the next day. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, PR, which you do so well. But I think this is our first real notice and stipulation of anything regarding the Sabbath that we have as far as Sabbath regulations.
Yes. In fact, I was going to make a comment about this. Yeah. We don't have anything formal about the Sabbath until Exodus chapter 20.
Yeah.
But God is giving us breadcrumbs and clues that the Sabbath is important. He's already trying to teach them like a father would, a child learning how to walk, do it this way. This is how I want you to do it. I want you to go this direction. I want you to balance yourself on what I'm trying to teach you. So he's already giving clues about his law. He's doing this all over. And I can't tell if Moses is working with a sense of, okay, I can tell after the fact, now that I have the law under my belt, so to speak, that this is what God was doing. Or if God was already using words like, okay, Sabbath, the Sabbath commands, and I'm going to provide for you an extra day. There's even laws about cleanliness, or he kind of drops hints about things like this that aren't stipulated yet. And yet God's already teaching them, I think, kind of pre-training them.
Right. Right. And that brings up an interesting point because Romans 5, we're still in the window where people were dying, even those whose sin was not like Adam or like those that were after Adam. And the difference being the law had not been codified yet. It hadn't been written down yet. And yet Paul's point in Romans is our original sin, our connection back to our sin nature. You don't have to have the law to sin. And so part of the evidence there is God is teaching them. I think you're right along the way.
Right on.
By the way, you said breadcrumbs. I picked up on that as we're talking about manna.
Manna. I think the Lord did that to me.
Yep. Did he? Did he do the clums part too? Or was
the clums was my thing.
That was for free.
Okay. That was me.
Yeah, but he's giving them this bread, and he's saying with the Sabbath, hey, on Friday, gather more than you normally would, enough for the next day also, and it'll still be there. And so he's teaching them and calling on them to trust him in this. Chapter 17, more grumbling. And again, this time they can't find water again, and God again intervenes and performs a sign to bring water out of a rock. Now, this is going to be important for us to remember in Numbers, because this time he tells Moses, hey, strike the rock, and there's going to come water. In Numbers, we're going to see a different situation. I won't spoil alert that, but it's going to have a lot to do with Moses' future when it comes to his leadership there. But again, God's patience. They're grumbling again here, and God doesn't say, fine, go back to Egypt. You want to go back to Egypt? Go back to Egypt. He provides, he responds, and he gives them water. And it just reminded me as I was reading this, man, God is patient with us. We grumble. We just grumble in a different way. We shake our heads at Israel, but we all have our own grumbling that we bring against God. And yet his kindness to us is infathomable. His patience, his long suffering is amazing. And so just, we see the foretaste of it here with Israel. Verses 8 through 16, then we get the first opponent, the first enemy of Israel in the wilderness outside of Egypt are the Amalekites. The Amalekites, Genesis 36:12, which I know all of you have committed to memory, is that they are descendants of Esau. So one of Esau's descendants is Amalek. In fact, I think it was his grandson was Amalek. And so the Amalekites descending from Esau, that goes back to Jacob and Esau and the discord there. And here God's going to work another sign in the presence of his people, just reminding them of his power and their encouraging their trust in him, that as long as Moses held up his staff, God was going to fight for Israel. And as soon as Moses let his staff down, then the battle was going to turn. And so Moses held his staff up along with Joshua and Aaron there helping him in that. Or was it Hur and Aaron?
Well, this is also the first mention of Joshua as well. But I did have a question to ask, because I think people often assume, and in fact, you'll read in your study Bibles, that this is praying. Moses is lifting up his hands in prayer. He's praying over the battle. Is that what's happening? Or is there something else that's taking place here, do you think?
You know, I'm not sure. I guess my default, I never thought of it that way. I thought of it more of the bare miraculous show of power, which I think is what we've seen elsewhere in the Exodus situation with the parting of the Red Sea and with even the miracles in front of Pharaoh. I mean, these were just God saying, I'm going to flex on you right now. And even what it says there at the end, when God says, you know, my name, or Moses has the altar, the Lord is my banner. The banner was the sign, the symbol that an army would hold up. And I think that's an allusion to the staff being held up during the actual battle there.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. That's my take on it, at least. Chapter 18, then, we've got Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, shows up and advises him, says, hey, you're doing too much. You're not fully qualified to be able to oversee all of these people. So you need to appoint elders. You need to appoint men to help you oversee such a vast amount of people, which again, whether this is 600,000 men, or as we talked about, if this really is 2 million, especially at that point, but Moses just can't do it all. And so Jethro wisely, I think, comes up and says, hey, you need to appoint qualified leaders to help you, and you need to delegate in such a way to help accomplish what you're trying to accomplish here. And you know, that's something on our mind right now as we consider what God is doing here at Compass Bible Church. We realize that we can't do it with the team that we have. Again, I was reading a book recently that said a church our size, which about 250 on average, has anywhere from 6 to 8 elders. And usually that's a church with lay elders, and we have a different polity than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, you know, Pastor Rod and myself, and then we're also bringing Mark along in a shepherding role as well, though he's not officially yet a pastor. And so we've got 3 of us trying to do work that a lot of people would say, hey, that's an 8-man job as far as shepherding a group that big. And that speaks to something that is on our mind a lot, which is leadership delegation. And we lean into our community group leaders a lot because
right.
They're helping us in that task. And that's why it's so important. If you're within earshot of this and we are your pastors and Compass Bible Church is your home church, get into a community group. We want you there. Talk to somebody that said, hey, my work schedule doesn't allow me to get off in time to make any of the start of any of these groups. Okay. Talk to the leader. Say, hey, I'm maybe 20 minutes late. I still want to be involved.
Better late than never.
What can I do? Yeah, better late than never. Get involved, get connected, get plugged in.
Amen.
And so delegation is huge. That's something that we recognize we need if we're going to grow and do what God wants us to do.
Looks like Jethro, Reuel, or Raul, however you say his name. He, if you remember, he was the priest of Midian. He's acknowledging here that what God has done has made it evident that this is the Lord who is greater than all gods. He says it in verse 11. So he's coming to the awareness of who God is and what he's done. Salvation events are intended to do that. The salvation of Israel from Egypt through the Exodus was meant to testify and showcase that the Lord, Yahweh, is greater than any god. Remember, the judgment, the plagues, and all the things that God does to Egypt were meant to be in direct opposition to the panoply of the Egyptian gods. And so God showcases his strength. Here, Jethro acknowledges the Lord is greater than any other god, and that's the point. The same thing is true under the New Testament, in the New Testament, under the gospel. Jesus saving his people by his own atoning death on the cross and then rising from the dead are meant to showcase that he is stronger than any god. That's why we're so passionate about sharing the gospel. We want that to be front and center because we want people to know Jesus is greater than any other supposed god out there.
Pastor Rob, pop quiz. Exodus 18:5, reference to the mountain of God, which traditionally is held to be Mount Horeb, which is in the Sinai wilderness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that they're there. It seems that they're in Sinai at Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God. This is where the 10 commandments are going to be given and everything else. The problem is Exodus 19:2, which is tomorrow's reading, is going to say that they were still at Rephidim, which was, we believe, about 20 miles away from Mount Horeb in the mountain of God in the Sinai wilderness. So any thoughts on what we do to reconcile that?
I will defer.
Yeah. And there's not a clean answer. There's some that have suggested there's multiple locations that held similar titles, and others that have said, you know, maybe this is chronologically put here and it took place really later on after the giving of the law, but it was put here because Moses wanted to put it here for some reason. But these are the little details as we read. And like we talked about the other day, this is not anything that undermines the integrity of the Bible or our framework, our understanding of it at all. So just a note there, if you see that or somebody says, hey, look, Mount Horeb versus Sinai or Rephidim, what's going on here? Is there an error? It's not an error. Either it was an editorial choice or we're not totally sure of all the different place names and where they were during this time, but it's nothing to panic about.
Amen to that.
All right, let's pray, and then we'll be done. God, we are grateful for your word, grateful for this time together, grateful for technology and those that were able to jump on Instagram Live with us and have some fun with us. We just pray that we would be faithful to you. We don't want to be those that grumble, and yet we are grateful for your patience. We know that we do grumble, even in our hearts. Sometimes we grumble without vocalizing it when we sin in our hearts with thoughts of doubt and questioning and anxiety and other things that can grip us. Lord, increase our faith and trust in you, which is what you were really trying to do with Israel as you're leading them out of here and showing them that they can trust you and rely on you. So we ask that you would do that for us as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Keep reading your Bibles. Tune in again tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
See you, folks.
Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. We hope and pray this has been a blessing to you and your time in the Word. If it has, if you would subscribe to this podcast, leave a like, leave a comment, and share it with some friends and family, that would be awesome. If you need more information about Compass Bible Church here in North Texas, you can go to compassntx.org. Again, that's compassntx.org. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.